It's interesting where we're going to talk today. In some way, I would love to go with the children. And in another way, I enjoy being here to preach to you and with you and learn along with you from God's Word. Today was going to be my final preaching. Don't applaud. But I'll share a little bit on June 12th, so it just takes the edge off of today. Otherwise, I would go with the children. So it would be much easier. I invite you to turn to Mark chapter 12. That's not going to be the focus for this morning, but I invite you to turn there and keep that open, because that's where we're going to talk this morning, is Mark chapter 12. It's interesting. I thought, what am I going to talk about today? I mean, today being today, and what would I want to say to you that would stay with you? And of course, I have to talk about where we've journeyed, and I cannot neglect telling and sharing with you the need to remain obedient to God. That's my life. And we've shared this together, as it is also yours. And so I thought, what a great passage for us to look at about obedience to God, remaining there. But it's interesting how we will do anything to get out of being obedient to God. We'll do anything to do that. It's difficult to remain obedient, especially if something else looks inviting. And so we'll even try everything to steer around so that, you know, we can somehow just remain obedient, or at least look like we're obedient. Like this video. Take a look at this. Show that. I'll need the lights dimmed. I don't know if they'll see it very good, but you can just...
There's a man who leads a life of danger. Everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. Every move he makes, every chance he takes. Oh, he wanna live to see tomorrow.
Nothing makes a sandwich like a Pepsi. It's the cola.
My sister did that. I didn't break that vase. I was just passing the ball to her. It's not my fault she didn't catch it, you know? It's my parents' fault that I don't have success. It's my husband's fault. It's my wife's fault. We love to place the blame so that we look like we're remaining obedient. And we do the same when it comes to the call of God on our life. Now, you've heard me preach this time and time and time again on this subject, but I believe we need to be refreshed and reminded in it. Do you agree? You're not going to agree to it because you want to...
Well, no, I don't need to be reminded. I'm doing it all the time.
Mark chapter 12. Look at this these great words of Jesus. Mark chapter 12, beginning at verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well," said teacher, the man replied, "you're right in saying that God is one and there's no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbors yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any questions. You are not far from the kingdom of God when you're obedient to him. You are not far from the kingdom of God when you love the Lord your God with all that you are, loving others the way God loves you. So, you see, we remain obedient to God. What it really means is personally God is. God is personally yours. You see, the term your God means he's your God. I love that. I never really noticed that before until I started reading through this again. Love the Lord your God. Not the God, but your God. He is your God. That means he wants that relationship with you. You know, being obedient just makes everything else so much easier. No matter the situation, no matter the circumstance. Now please understand, I'm only speaking with the understanding of positive obedience. Now there are abusive situations where obedience is demanded. That's not healthy. That's not healthy obedience. You know, like you'll see husbands and wives in a marriage. Well, you're supposed to be obedient to me. You said it up front. You have to be obedient. Now darn my socks. Some of you are going to email me and say, I swore. That's not, I mean, darning is using needle thread. Just so you know that. Do you know, how many of you darn socks? No men put their hands up. It's all ladies. Doesn't mean that that's not okay. I mean, you know, if it's not abusive, it's fine. Because you're mad at me now because you're going to have to go home and look after your own socks. I had printed in the bulletin for you a great passage of Scripture, and really that's what I want you to see. I mean, Mark is great because it's the words of Jesus, but it's confirmation in my bulletin. Where is it? Here it is. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6, and I want it from the Amplified so you actually get it, okay? And the Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind and heart, and with all your being that you may live. It's a great passage. I don't think we realize how easy it is in our society today to say that we love God, but yet not have him first in our life. Because we don't understand that personally God is. The first commandment says, you shall have no other gods but me. No other gods. See, that means nothing. No person, no job, no possession, no ministry. Nothing should take first place in our life other than God. And some of you know this. When God is first in every aspect of your life, then you have desired peace. Peace just overwhelms you because you personally know God. God demands that first place. He's got to be first. He will not be satisfied with anything else. You cannot just take Jesus and add him onto your mess. You can't. It won't work. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Again, Jesus' words, an awesome scripture. I mean, if you just took one scripture today to change your life, it would be this one, Matthew 6, 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. You see, we want all the other things added. That's what we want. Because it's easier. I mean, it's great. We can have things. We want everything added up. It's got to be methodically planned. Depends on your personality. Some of us just kind of flow through life and hope it all works in the end. God says, seek first my kingdom. Seek my righteousness. Be obedient to me. And then these things will be added to you. Because God knows that you require a personal relationship with him. See, if we give God what is rightfully his, which is first place in our life, everything else will fall into place. It will. It's amazing if you give God time first, how he can save you time the rest of the day. It's amazing. But we try to shortchange God. Oh, God, I can't have 15 minutes with you this morning. I'll take 5. It's 5 minutes, God. That's it. And then we wonder why we're limping through the day. God, I don't have time for you this morning. And we're panicking the whole day because we haven't put God first. If you give God your bank account first, he'll look after your needs. But we want to look after our bank account. Say, oh, I got to look after them. We're not going to have enough. You realize, what? You bought me socks instead of darning those? See? Put God first. Why? Because he's your God. Love the Lord, your God. And the Lord your God will circumcise your hearts. This passage starts out in Deuteronomy that the Lord will circumcise your heart. To circumcise means to cut. And I'm not going into detail about it. What we need is to live with circumcised hearts. I was going to say circumcision, but it doesn't work. We need to live with circumcised hearts. That means that everything else needs to be cut away. Anything that would take God's place means it needs to be cut away. And God loves you so much. He loves you so, so much. More than any human being or anything could ever love you. God loves you so much. And he wants the best for your life so desperately that he will help us get to this place where things are cut away so that we can enjoy living. That's how wonderful God is. I mean, think about it this way. As a parent, there are some things your children just want. And there are some things that you can do to grant their desire, but there are those times when you just go, my. You better not go down those stairs backward. No. Don't go down the slide. Don't go crawling up the slide and the water slide, or you will get hit when I come down. No. And you'll go up just to prove it. That's the thing. When I was a child, there were rumors that I was active. It's true. One day I learned that my parents may just know what they were talking about. Being the youngest, I had the ability to convince my much older and wiser brother to partake of fun that I would come up with. I was always a visionary in some way. I wanted to build a fort. How many of you have ever had a fort? You know, you built and construct. Yeah, it's kind of fun. Did you have it? Did you actually have a fort? Oh, good for you. Well, I'll tell you my story. I wanted to build this fort, so I enlisted my brother to enjoy this fun. And so we ventured to build the fort. Now, you know the kind of the fort. It's made out of wood planks from a back lane or 2x4s that you find in a junk pile or even large 4x8 sheets of plywood that you discover in a ditch somewhere. Try carrying those in extreme Regina wind. They act as a kite, and you very quickly become the tail. But my brother and I, we managed, you know, carrying this. I was 6 at the time. We arrived safely home, and I went in the house to select some of the tools that we needed to complete the job. And my father saw me carrying up his electric skill saw from the basement. He thought, oh, Devin's up to something again. And so as quickly as I set the saw on the cement, my dad picked it up and proceeded to tell me that in order to use such an instrument like an electric saw, you needed to be older than 6 years old, much older. I couldn't believe it. I really couldn't. I couldn't understand that. Older than 6. I mean, I knew. I saw Dad use the saw. So with the saw in his hands, he went back into the house, carefully placing it in, back in the basement box. My brother and I began our best to make this fort, but the idea of not being able to saw our plywood piece just right. I mean, the idea of not being able to saw it, we couldn't figure out how are we going to break this? So we tried hammering it. I mean, I stood holding one end while my brother tried pounding it in the metal, but I ended up flying half the time with the 4x8 sheet. Now, my dad was very clear in his instructions. He said very clearly, a six-year-old cannot use a skill saw, Devin. You could hurt yourself, or you could hurt someone else with it. You need to be older before you can use this. He was clear. The father was very clear, always clear with his instructions. But I remembered something critically important to this whole story. My brother was 6 years older than me. 6 years. That's an adult when you're six. So I shared this great bit of wisdom with my much older and wiser brother, and he went in and picked up the skill saw to do the job. He even grabbed a set of those goggles. At the time, they were really big and huge to shield his eyes. He saw Dad do this. He came up with a pencil in his ear, a tape measure, and a square. See, he's so much wiser at 12. So he measured and he drew the line along the plywood, and it was time to cut. Now, where did he cut it? At that moment, I came up with another one of my brilliant ideas. You know, plywood, we needed to be by the cord that was by the house, which was also close to the car, which allowed us to place the plywood on the car. It's brilliant. You got to, you know. So I sat on the edge on the car for dear life, and I was sitting there, and making sure that the piece of plywood wouldn't move. My brother fired up the saw, and he looked at the draw line, and he looked at the car to make certain that he wouldn't cut the car with the saw. Began his cut, made his move. Saw caught the wood, and a huge piece flew across the plywood, lifting over so quickly into the air, but landing safely into my eye. I was covered in sawdust from hair to chin and beyond, and was desperately crying for someone to rip my eyes out. Hospital trip later, the plank was removed, and the fort still remains to be built. I did not get my fort. You see, if I'd only listened to my father, I could have saved so much pain in my life. There are moments where we don't listen to our Heavenly Father, and we create such pain in living life. We don't obey God because we fear Him, or we obey God because we love Him, or we obey God because we're afraid of Him. I prefer to obey God because I love Him. Love God, your God, with all your heart, with all your mind, your soul. It doesn't mean to love God with somebody else's mind, like, for instance, well, you know, so-and-so, they didn't do that, and, you know, they should be doing it because this is what we do. We're obedient Christians. We should be doing that. Wait a minute. That's saying they should love God this way. Wait a minute. I'm supposed to look after my heart and mind and mind their heart and mind. See, to love God with your mind, it means to have God on your mind. It means to have the Word of God on your mind, to meditate on the Word of God, the Bible. It means to think about the great things God has done. I look around the sanctuary and I think about all the great things God has done. But it doesn't stop here. It doesn't end when I walk out the door. It's continual on my lips. It doesn't mean you can't think about anything else, but isn't it true that what's most important to us is what we think about. What is important to us is what we talk about. If you talk about money all the time, that's important to you. If you talk about possessions all the time, that's important to you. What you talk about all the time is important to you. What is it in our heart that comes out of our mouth? See, where a person is at, you can see just by listening. The Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants. Knowing God has made all the difference in my life, as He probably has in yours. And I want the same for my children. I want the same for my kids. And it's great. Their involvement's great.
mean, man, they're so involved here with this family. It's amazing. You made it easy for them to be involved. Right? Yeah, wake up. I know it was a late night, but I went to bed before you. I think. What time did you go to bed, anyway? Did you go to bed at 11:30? What time was it?
Well, I went to bed at 1:30.
You get 1:30? What are you doing to 1:30? Will you watch your hockey game or something? Okay. I was in bed before you. Probably asleep. How about the rest of you? Okay, okay. Leaving a legacy is important for your children. My wife typically goes to bed before me, and my children typically would go to bed before me, but last night was unusual, and I went to bed before them because I'm learning from them. Because it reverses at times. You learn. I was tired. I needed to go to bed. And the legacy that you leave with your children of God, being someone who loves you, someone who cares for you, someone who desperately wants a relationship with you, will last for eternity. Will last for eternity. But how are they going to know about God if you don't talk about him? And how are you going to not talk about him if he's not on your mind all the time? You've got to think about God. That's loving him with your mind, with your heart. Remaining obedient to God means personally God is for you, but also provision of life is given by God. You see, this passage, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart. That means cut away all the stuff that is getting in the way of your relationship with him, and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your mind and all your heart and all your being. And then these last four words are so important in Deuteronomy. Why does God do this? That you may live. That you may live. Now that's not talking about breathing. I know it was a little plucked in because I went to bed early. But that speaks about having the life that God wants you to have. That abundant, prosperous, powerful, creative, joyful, peaceful life. But you're not going to have that kind of life if you don't have your heart circumcised. If you don't keep God first, then you're not going to have the kind of life that God wants you to have. Have you ever wanted to live? I mean, really live? Listen today. God promises that you will live, that you will really live. I love the way the Message Bible puts Deuteronomy. God, your God, will cut away the thick calluses on your heart and your children's hearts, freeing you to love God, your God, with your whole heart and soul and live. Really live. I enjoy that. Because you see, without God, there's no way we could live. God did it all. Created me. Loved me enough to create me. Created you. Loved you enough to create you. Died for you. Sacrificed for you. Was tortured brutally for you. Went through emotional angst, much like you. God did all this for you. So that you would see him as your God. God can do anything for you, and he will do anything for you as one of his children. Anything for you. Anything for you. Did you hear me? God can do anything for you, and he will do anything for you. But we often get in the way by choosing what we would rather do than what God calls us to. A minister decided that a visual demonstration would add emphasis to his Sunday sermon regarding valuing what God wants. Instead of finding value in the world, living a life with God, then attempting to find life in the world. And so he placed four worms
into four separate jars. And the first worm was put into a container of alcoholic beverage. And the second worm was put into a container of cigarette smoke. And the third worm was put into a container of chocolate syrup. And the fourth worm was put into a container of good, clean soil, really good soil. And at the conclusion of the sermon, the minister reported the following results when he preached this message about choosing the world or choosing God. And he said, here are the results. The first worm in the alcohol, dead. The second worm in cigarette smoke, dead. The third worm in chocolate syrup, dead. I can't figure that one out, but dead. He said, the fourth worm, good, clean soil. Alive. So the minister asked the congregation, he said, what can you learn from this demonstration today? Maxine was sitting in the back, quietly raised her hand, and she said, well, as long as you drink, smoke, and eat chocolate, you won't have worms. Well, that pretty much ended the service that day, and went home, and said that because I could get away with it. The world will suck you into thinking that it's okay. That's the point of that. And you will want to give in to thinking it's okay. But God says, I give you life. Start living. One thing I want to point out, don't you think that God can outgive what the world wants to give you when it comes to giving? Don't you think he can? I know he can. God wants his children to be blessed, don't you think? He wants to bless you, don't you think? He wants me to be blessed. He doesn't want us walking around, oh, poor me, poor me, poor me. That one little string violin, me, 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 me. He doesn't want us walking around like that. Or even, I don't know why that Christian got that. They can't afford it. How do you know? See, you don't even know how they got it or why they got it. You don't even know. You don't even know if they needed it. God wants us to be people who live life. And I'll tell you, God does provide. He looks after his children. Might not be in the timing you want. You need to trust him for it. He may not give you what you want, but he'll give you what you need. And sometimes he'll go in and he'll creatively cut away whatever it is that is startling you enough to take you away from his presence. There's nothing pretty about being obedient to God, because God will bless you in so many ways. It's beautiful, but I tell you, it's hard. I picked up on material things, but God will, he just wants to shine life on you in so many ways. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, God said to the Israelites, he said, I have led you all this way, these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble you, to prove you, to see if you would keep my word or not. To see if you would remain faithful. And I've done it so that I may be able to bring you into a good land flowing with milk and honey. But beware when I bring you into this good land and you've built your nice houses and you have more than enough. Beware lest you forget me. We always call on God when we're in trouble. And then when things are great, we forget who he is. We can't forget about God. We are both going through some wilderness the next little while. We can't forget about God. And sometimes you're going to find that you can't take the pressure. Or you can't see a way out. Or you might say, I'm going to go somewhere else because I don't want to walk through this wilderness. When you say that, you've forgotten who God is.
But you don't understand, Dev. You don't understand. I need to go somewhere else where the leadership is there. You have good leadership. Yeah, but you don't understand, Dev. I want to be somewhere else where there's an exciting preacher. You didn't have one anyway. Okay. Needs to be on Ritalin the rest of his life, I think. Tell you, when you forget about God, you forget about other people, including yourself. That's why Jesus said it's so important to love God and love your neighbor and love yourself. He said you can't do it. It's got to go in that order. Love God first. Then you'll love your neighbor. And then you'll start understanding that you can love yourself. Love your God, with your heart, with your soul, with your mind. And I'll tell you the strength you get from that. It gives you the strength to be able to love your neighbor and love yourself. See, somehow we forget that important piece. Somehow we often look at what's more convenient for us, but that's not convenient. This has got to be more convenient. Look at this. I'll show you. This is a demonstration of convenience. Look at this right now. I figured you should have breakfast in bed on your birthday. Can you reach the stove okay? See? See, it's more convenient. It's more convenient. God wants us to have everything that is waiting in the promised land. Because there is promised land, folks. But he first has to see how we behave in the wilderness. Because if we're only going to serve God and worship him and praise him during the good times, then we do not have any spiritual strength and maturity at all to get us through the rough times. Listen, if you only praise God and enjoy him during those good moments, then we only serve God for what he gives to us, not for who he is. God wants us to worship him because of who he is. I didn't know God brought things into my life so that I would not depend on myself until I started actually pastoring and really pastoring here. I had some of it prior, but to a greater depth here. I didn't know certain circumstances were forcing me to lean on God so that he could cut away at my heart so cleverly to mature me. How often do we say, well, I guess there's nothing else I can do but pray. Well, I guess there's nothing else, I gotta pray. What's that? That should be the first thing we do. But we try everything else. Oh, man. Tell you, I'm going to a different church. I don't like what I see going on here. I'm going to a different one. Guess what? Give it 2 years. God's going to get you back somehow. Because he's going to cut what's needed in your heart. But we come to him usually as a last-ditch effort. It's like, well, I can't do anything now. We'll see what God can do. And then there's this one. Well, it seems like nothing more I can do but trust God. You see how we all? That's how we are. That's called being full of ourselves. Well, I'll take care of this. Things happen to keep us from trusting and depending on ourselves instead of on God who raises the dead. See, I think the cross. I got one in my pocket. Did I put it in my pocket? I have it somewhere. Because I know I carry a little cross. Yeah, I got it. See, I think the cross. And you can look at the big one. I think this is almost like the Trinity. You know? Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. And here's our invitation. It's where we come with our life. So that God can suck it up to himself. Because he's our God.
Who's going to endure being obedient to God today? Who's going to make a decision to just stay put and let God continue to lead? Sometimes our flesh gets tired of things a long time before God's finished. We just want to move on to something else exciting. Praise God. I need something new in my life. When we're getting dealt with where we're at, I tell you, God always creates something amazing. What do you do when God puts you somewhere where you don't want to be? You got to trust Him more. I want to be a man after God's own heart. That's my prayer. It always has been. Like King David, I want that. I want to have a tender heart, not a hard heart. I want to be pliable. I want to be moldable in the hands of God. I don't want God to have to argue with me for 3 weeks to get me to do some little thing. And believe me, I know what I'm talking about. Because God called me to this next adventure, being a regional minister. I don't even know what that looks like. I mean, I'll care for you in a different way, but God will continue to care for you in His way. And I'm so grateful and thankful for God's call, because God's call brought my family and I here for over 12 wonderful years. And I've loved watching God work among us as we've grown together and embraced this leading to preach, teach, nurture, and equip, all the while exalting Christ. It's been such a joy. Such a joy. This is why we love Him as our God. With all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul that He has given us, so that together we can have strength to love ourselves and one another. I'm glad the Love One Another project is about forgiveness, because I want you to forgive me. Forgive me for leaving. Forgive me for the next phase of journey. Forgive me maybe where I've offended you in some way. I don't know if I have or where that's been, but please forgive me. And I will forgive you for being the best church to pastor, because you still are and you always will be, as long as you continue to glorify God and love Him together. Remain obedient to Him. Let's pray. God, it's hard. You know the mixture of emotions that sits here today. Lord, there's joy and anticipation, but there's also concern over wilderness. But thankfully, you know. Thankfully, you know. And God, we're so grateful as a church family, as a body, that we could know you. Lord, what a treasure to be here together this morning in your presence. But more than that, to take this moment with us as we continue to think and reflect on you. Lord, what a wonderful church to pastor, and you know that. Lord, we pray that as a new person comes to accept this position, Lord, we know it's your choosing. Lord, I pray that you will protect this place from all harm, whether it be through gossip, through miscontent, discontentment, God. Maybe even through some malicious talk. I pray, God, you will protect. May you continue to be the focus of all that is said and done. And as, Lord, we know and we believe that it is to you, God, be all glory and honor forever and ever. Amen.